All right, we're going to start here on the bottom of Nun Vav Amud Bet by the Mishnah. Today's daf inherently is not so difficult. The problem is that in at least three locations here, Rashi himself brings two lishonot as to what the meaning of the Gemara is. And then obviously we have other Rishonim who also add their opinion to the fray. So because of that, there's a number of Girsa issues and so on and so forth, which make the daf a little more complex. One of them is with this Mishnah right now. This Mishnah, which has an issue of truma, a question of a woman, whether she is psula le truma. And now that can manifest itself in two different ways. We know that a woman in her father's house, a bat kohen, is permitted to eat truma. Once she leaves her father's house, then she's no longer permitted to participate in the truma. And if she marries in Israel, then she's no longer a bat kohen. If she then is widowed, divorced without children, she can return to her father's house and eat truma. There are certain things that will be pusel her from truma in her father's house, including being a psula, or having bi'ah with a psula. That's one issue of truma. The second issue of truma is, for instance, if a woman who is a Israelite marries a kohen, then she gains the right to eat truma because she's now the wife of the kohen. Mido raito, that happens once she is kinyan kaspo. Kinyan kaspo is erusin, is kiddushin. Erusin, kiddushin, is kinyan kaspo. Mina Torah, she is permitted to eat truma from that point in time. Chazal delayed that till after the nisuin because they didn't want the kohen, for whatever reason, to break up the marriage and then not get married to her because of simpon is one of the issues, which is that he might find something that he doesn't like in the woman, and therefore he's going to retroactively undo the kiddushin because it was a kiddushe ta'ut, or we're afraid that she's going to take the food back to her father's house where she's living, and they're going to eat from the truma because she's yet to live with her husband where the truma is inside the kohen's home. So because of that, we have two different issues in terms of truma. One is when the bat kohen loses her truma, in a sense, and the other one is when does the bat Yisrael gain her truma. Question in the Mishnah is which one of those two issues is our Mishnah discussing? Which of these two issues is the Mishnah talking about that this woman is now precluded or excluded from Truma? There's also a Mishnah in Ketubot that says that after 12 months, and this is the din of most women, that after 12 months, if the husband is not machnis the woman, meaning that they gave a 12-month period in order for the chatan and the kalat to prepare for the wedding, they had kiddushin erusin, 12 months later they did nisuin. If for whatever reason he does not complete the nisuin 12 months later, she starts to, I guess, as a fine, garner mizonot from him, and he pays mizonot. There's a question as to whether a woman in this situation then starts to get truma. Because, again, mina Torah, she already gets it from erusin. She's waited the 12 months, then she gets truma. There's a Mishnah in Ketubot, Mishnah Rishonah, Mishnah Achonah. The first Mishnah says yes, the second Mishnah, or the later Mishnah says no. All of that comes together into this explanation of this Mishnah right now, which is, we have a Mishnah here, it says, Almana the Kohen Gadol, Rusha v'chalutza the Kohen Ejot. So we have a widow marry a Kohen Gadol, and a Rusha v'chalutza that marries a Kohen Ejot, all of which are problematic marriages for a Kohen. Min ha'irusin, if it's from the irusin, lo yochlu b'truma, they may not eat the truma. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, machshirin, they said it's no problem. Nitar melu, o nit gershu, if they were widowed or divorced, min ha'nisuin, that's from the full-fledged marriage, psulot. They are psulot. Mina erusin, ksherot. On the other hand, if it's from the erusin, they are kasher. What we're speaking about here, so Rashi brings two interpretations. The first interpretation, which he rejects it out of the fact that the girsaot in the Gemara do not support that interpretation. Tosafot later on comes and finds support for this explanation because he has the Rabbeinu Hananel. The Rabbeinu Hananel has an alternate girsa in the Gemara, and his alternate girsa in the Gemara supports the ability of Rashi to have that first interpretation. So Rashi is being driven about what he sees from what he sees in his Gemara to give the explanation that he gives. On the other hand, Tosafot gives the alternate explanation because they have a different girsa. I'm going to skip to the Lashon Acher, which is the way Rashi gives it, the Lashon Ikar, which is, this is an Almana Kohen Gadol, Gushav Gucholutza Kohen Yedot, Mina Yerusin, Lo Yochlu B'Truma. These women may not eat truma, ben bebat kohen, ben bebat Yisrael kamairi. It doesn't matter if you're speaking about a bat kohen, doesn't matter if you're speaking about a bat Yisrael. Bebat kohen, Kedibrishit, about grain, this will be posel her to go back to her father's house. Because she has a biapsula that makes her a chlala, and because of that, she may not go back to her father's house and get truma if she is divorced or something happens out of the Rusin over here. Abat Yisrael, and Rashi says this is Aliba de Mishnah Rishona. Mishnah Rishona says that after 12 months, Abat Yisrael gets truma, and she's able to eat truma, even though she has yet to be fully married to this Kohen, only has a Rusin with him. Because he has man velo nisu, ochlot mishalov, ochlot b'tshura. V'kamar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Almana le Kohen Gadol, afapi de kdushav kidushin, v'kinyan kaspohi. Even though her kiddushin, make her into a kinyan kaspo, no different than an eved, she should be able to eat the truma. Lo tochal b'truma kishar usot. She doesn't get it like any other usot of Kohen, she'ochlot min haTorah, my taima, dimishtameret le bi'a veira. Because eventually, she's gonna lose it. I mean that even though now she's kinyan kaspo, and technically min haTorah gets the right to eat truma, as soon as he has bi'a with her, he's gonna be posel her from the truma. So since in the end game, she's gonna be psula, we don't let her take truma now. Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon disagree and say no. Until the point where she's a psula, she's entitled to truma, and therefore after 12 months, if he has yet to have bi'a with her and do nisuin, she's entitled to truma, and she can eat the truma until she has nisuin. Then, nitarmu nitgashu mina kohanim halalu mina irusin. So now, if they were divorced or widowed from this kohen's marriage to her in irusin, then she's kshirot linasada kohanim. They can marry other kohanim because they never consummated the marriage. Since the marriage was never consummated, bia is the thing that is posel such a woman. Now, truth is, gabe grusha, it doesn't really matter. By grusha, for a bat Yisrael, then it doesn't matter. If she's divorced from him, she's psula de kuhuna, nothing to do with the bia, just simply she's divorced. That divorcee is not allowed to marry a Kohen, so therefore she's out anyway. The only question there by the divorce would be for the Bat Kohen, whether she can return to her father's house, and the answer would be yes, because she never had the Bi'ah Psula. Mina Nisuin, everybody agrees then that she's Psula in either case, because she had Bi'ah, and that ruins her. That's the way Rashi explains this Mishnah, because of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Meir, Kal V'chomer. So Kal V'chomer. Umaki Dushe Rishut, when you have optional kiddushim, kiddushim, not optional here, I mean not of aveira, it's a good kiddushin, you don't get truma. Here where it's aveira, what's the story? Now the way Rashi reads this is, if you have a case by Israel, that is Mikadesh Bat Israel, so Israel, Mikadesh Bat Israel, there's no problem in the kiddushin, and certainly the Bat Israel doesn't get truma because he's not a Kohen. Then, over here, we have Kedusha Aveira, certainly, you would not get Truma. Amrulo, ima mart bi Kedusha Rishut, shekein ein lo la'achil b'makom acher. What are you talking about? Israel to Israelite never has the ability to grant Truma, because he's Israel. So that's no proof. Tomar bi Kedusha Aveira, shekein yesho la'achil b'makom acher. How could you speak about a Kohen, or a Kohen Gadol here, who, in a proper relationship, would grant the right of Truma? So maybe he's different over here by Kedusha Aveira. Maybe he can grant that right of Truma. So Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Mavoshaya, Tzua Daka. In a case of Tzua Daka Kohen. So Tzua Daka Kohen is problematic because he will make the woman a psula. Because he's a Tzua Daka, lo yavo bikal Hashem, he himself makes a woman into a chlala. He is entitled to eat Truma as a Kohen. But he can't give that right or grant that right to a woman because of his inability to have a proper relationship with this woman. So if she kidesh bat Yisrael, that had kiddushin with the bat Yisrael, banu l'machloket Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Shimon. This is a machloket of our Mishnah, he's saying. The Rabbi Meir damar mishtamer the biapsula doraita lo achla. Since she is now being held out for a biapsula, she may not eat. Hanami lo achla. So to over here, she will not eat. L'Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Shimon, Damri Mishtamer, the Bi'ah Psula, Doraita Achla, that if she's waiting for her Bi'ah Psula, until she has that Bi'ah Psula, she's allowed to eat. Hanami Achla. So she is also allowed to eat. Now, why this is important is because look at the case that was brought here. The case that the Gemara brings is a case of Tzua Daka, Kohen, that married a Bat Yisrael. This is one of Rashi's proofs that the Mishnah is even talking about a Bat Yisrael. Otherwise, what's the proof from Tzua Daka being married to a Bat Yisrael? The case over there should be a case of Tzua Daka Kohen married to a Bat Kohen. Otherwise, it wouldn't be referencing our Mishnah at all. That's one of Rashi's proofs. And second of all, proof is the Kal Vachomer that Rabbi Meir brings. Those two things force Rashi to say or interpret the Mishnah the way that we did. Rashi brings a Lashon Rishon, which would be the simpler way to reach the Mishnah, but is undermined by the Girsa, which says that the Mishnah is only talking about a Bat Kohen. It's not talking about a Bat Yisrael at all. There are a number of reasons to say that. Tosafot gives a lot of them and disagrees with Rashi and says, number one is, the Mishnah Rishonah do both, that says that after 12 months, an Arusa gets to eat Truma, that's not the Halacha. That's a Mishnah Rishonah. That has undermined the Halacha. So why would we have a whole setup of a Mishnah here that is Lola Halacha? That's number one. Number two is, the Kal Vachomer here seems to be a ridiculous Kal Vachomer. Rabbi Meir's Kal Vachomer is, oh, if an Yisrael married to Israelit can't grant Truma, then certainly a Kohen with Kedusha Yabeira can't grant Truma. Hey, what type of Kal Vachomer is that? It makes no sense. Of course Yisrael with Israeli can't grant Truma. It's not Shayach to Truma at all. I mean, that's their answer. But it's so obvious. What was Rabbi Meir thinking? So because of that, Tosafot leans towards the first interpretation of Rashi, which is that the Mishnah is only talking about a Bat Kohen. And that means, with regards to a Bat Kohen, when is she psula to return to her father's house? And that's all that the Mishnah is addressing. Which is, Almanah leKohen Gadol, Grushah v'Chulutah leKohen Jot, Mineh Yerusim lo yichlu b'truma. Once they have Erusin, Rabbi Meir says that she cannot return to her father's house and get Truma anymore. She's already psula because she is mishtameret lebi'a psula. Being mishtameret lebi'a psula already creates a problem for her. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, makshirim, until there is bi'a, that is poseller. Until that point, she can go back to her father's house and eat Truma. Nitarmu or nitgershu min ha'nisuim, psulot min erusim k'sheirot. So again, min ha'nisuim, she becomes problematic because now she's a chlala, she's a psula, both for Truma and for marriage. And from a Erusin, she is Ksheira because she didn't have anything that changed her status. Again, for Truma, it's easy to understand Gerushin. With regards to marrying a Kohen, obviously that would not be relevant anymore once she has Gerushin. How does Tosfot solve the problem of the Girsaot in the Gemara? So he brings from the Rabbeinu Chananel. He says in his Gemara, this is what the Gemara said. It says, Gemara Garis, Ma Kidushe Rishut Poslim. Which is what Rashi suggests had to be the Girsa, and that's why he rejects the Lashon here. He says, the Kal Vachomer is this. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Meir Kal Vachomer, Ma Kedushei Rishut Poslim. Kedushei Rishut can ruin it for a woman. If a woman marries someone who is psula to her, then that ruins her in terms of her ability to return to her father's house. So Ma Kedushei Rishut Poslim, there where she's not doing anything with Kedushei Aveira, there's no Aveira that she's doing. She's marrying someone who is permitted to her to marry, yet it makes her psula le kihuna, or to return to her father's house to have truma. So there where she has a permitted marriage, that causes her a problem in terms of returning to her father's house. Be kedushe or Aveira lo kol shekein? Then when she has kedushe Aveira, certainly it should be posel her to go back to her father's house. So in that way, the Kal Vachomer makes a lot of sense. Again, the Girsa has to be poslim here, but just like a Yisrael that has whatever problem that is not problematic for a Bat Kohen, but does posel her the kuna, that is enough to ruin her ability to go back for Truma. Here, where it's an illicit marriage, it's a problem with a Kohen to this woman, or a Kohen Gadol to this woman, certainly that should not allow her to return to her father's house. The Gemara answers that, well, it's different. Because a Kohen has a right to grant Truma in other cases. Yisrael doesn't have a right to grant Truma in other cases. Then, what about Ptsua Daka? Over there, the Ptsua Daka case was a marriage between a Ptsua Daka Kohen to a Bat Yisrael. Now that you explained the Mishnah with a Bat Kohen, it has no relevance to the Mishnah. So here, Begabi Ptsua Daka Garsinan Shikidesh Bat Kohen. That it was a Ptsua Daka Kohen that got married to a Bat Kohen. So in that case, again, the whole case is about the Bat Kohen going back to her father's house. So with that alternate girsa that he brings from the Rabbeinu Chananel, he's able to explain the whole Gemara here based on Bat Kohen. Rashi's limited because he doesn't see this other girsa, and therefore based on the girsa he sees, he has to explain the Mishnah as being both a Bat Kohen and a Bat Yisrael in order to make sense of what's happening over here. All right, now we continue on the top of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. All right, so now the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that the machloket of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon that we say in our Mishnah is also valid over here? Why do you think it's the same thing here? Doma ad kan lo kamei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon hotam el diesh lo lachkil b'makom acher. Because this Kohen has the ability to give Truma in other circumstances. Therefore, in this case, he grants this woman, even though she's psula, the right to Truma. Av ahocha, by a psua daka Kohen, ein lo lachkil b'makom acher. He will never have the ability to grant Truma to anyone. Doesn't matter to this woman or to another woman. His problem is that he is a psua daka. And no matter who he marries, he will not grant her truma. So therefore, maybe Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon will agree here that he can't grant truma. Since he has no power to grant truma anywhere, maybe he can't grant it here. Yes, he does give truma over here. So then, he should also be able to give the right to a bat gerim to eat truma. A bat gerim is a daughter of gerim. In the case of a daughter of gerim, there's a question about whether they are kshirim lekuhuna. That's one question. There's a second level of question of which are they considered to be kahal. So there is a problem in terms of gerim, whether they have a status of kahal. Why does that matter? Because it says by tzuadaka, lo yavo bikal Hashem. So the isur of marrying tzuadaka is only for someone who is classified as kahal Hashem. If you're not inside of the kahal Hashem, then there's no restriction. So the question of gerim is, do they have a status of kahal Hashem or not have a status of kahal Hashem? Bat gerim, now he's saying, is not part of kahal Hashem, then they don't have the restriction of lo yavo tzuadaka. So maybe he's no sabah heter. He's marrying her properly. We're going to come up to it in the Gemara, but with regards to bat gerim, if her mother is a Yisraelit, there's a machloket, whether that's enough to make the bat gerim kshera. Is it only when her parents are both gerim that it's problematic? Or at least when her mother is a kioret that it's problematic? Or is it even when Imam Yisrael is a problematic? Let's assume now that she is a daughter of both a ger and a kioret. So that both of her parents converted and now she's a daughter from them. Over here, we're assuming that that bat gerim is not part of kahal Hashem yet because she doesn't have a parent who is part of kahal Hashem. Once she has a parent part of kahal Hashem, maybe she will be part of kahal Hashem. So as of right now, she is not problematic to marry this tzuadaka because she's not part of kahal Hashem. His marriage to her is perfectly muteret. So that's what the Gemara says here. Okay, according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, you're saying now, let us differentiate between a tzuadaka and a case of gerusha, chalutza, and almanav, the Mishnah. Because in that case, the Kohen has the right to grant truma in other instances. Therefore, he grants her the right here, even though it's an illicit marriage. Whereas by tzuadaka, he has no right to grant truma in other cases. He won't grant truma in this case. So they say, wait a minute. Okay, so you're right about a bat Kohen. But now, well, let's take a case of bat gerim. What are you going to say now in a case of bat gerim where it is permitted for her to get married? And he should be permitted to grant the truma, machila truma. So there is a case where a tzuadaka grants truma to a woman in another scenario. So that's why maybe Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon would agree over here. Wait a minute, didn't Rabbi Yochanan pose this question to Rabbi Shaya? Velo poshidle. And Rabbi Shaya gave him no answer, meaning that he had a safek about this. They didn't know the answer to this. According to this understanding, that shouldn't have been a safek. He should have known the answer. Yes. But Rabbi Hoshaya doesn't say that. Rabbi Hoshaya was the author of this position, doesn't say. He says, I don't know.
So you wanted to suggest that tzuadaka is similar to the cases of our Mishnah because we do find a manifestation of tzuadaka granting truma to a woman. And that's in the case where he marries a bat gerim. That just can't be the case. Because Rabbi Hoshaya, who's the author of this statement, also was unable to provide an answer to the question of a tzuadaka that marries a bat gerim, whether they do grant truma to this woman. So this can't be the case in which a tzuadaka grants truma to another person, b'makom acher. And if that's the case, how did Rabbi Shaya extrapolate from our Mishnah to the case of tzuadaka? Where do you ever find by tzuadaka a manifestation of granting truma b'makom acher? Granting truma in another situation.
Itmar, Abai Amar, holo machila b'lo yida'a. Rav Amar, holo machila b'avadav v'shivchotav akinanim. The answer to that question is, this tzuadaka does have the ability to give truma. He has the ability to give truma in certain circumstances. May then give him the right now to grant truma here as well. And that is, according to Abaye, there's a case b'lo yida'a. In the case where he's married and she is eating truma, perfectly good marriage, she's eating truma because she's married to a kohen. Then all of a sudden he becomes a tzuadaka. Now becoming a tzuadaka, this is now becomes a problematic marriage. If he is to have bi'ah with her at this point in time, he will be posla mi truma. But he's lo yada. He does not have bi'ah with her. He remains married to her and lo yada. So here we have a manifestation of tzuadaka where he's giving a woman truma. So there is a case where a tzuadaka grants truma to a woman in another scenario. So that's why maybe Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon would agree over here, because that her right only comes through her husband. And if now she's now becomes a psula de kuhuna, she no longer has that right to the truma anymore. Now, if in a normal marriage, if she has children, her children, the kohanim, will grant her that right to eat truma, continue to eat truma, even after the death of her husband. But over here, where the bia would make her psula de kuhuna, if he has bia with her, she's going to ruin her and she won't be able to stay married to him. That's the Gemara's assumption here, that that would be problematic. Rava Amar, ho machila babadav shivchotav akunanim. Rava says, wait a minute, we also have a manifestation of truma being granted through a psilaka daka. For instance, if he owns a shivcha kananit, he owns avadim kananim. They become kinyan kaspo. And since they're kinyan kaspo, they're entitled to truma. Even though he's a psilaka daka, he can still grant them truma. So we have a manifestation of him granting truma. So our question, or at least our initial questioning of this statement, Amar Abelazar, Amar Boshayev, Psua Daka, Kohen Shekidesh Bat Yisrael, or Bat Kohen, in that case, we said that it's the same as the Machloket of our Mishnah. The Gemara says, how do you know it's the same as the Machloket of our Mishnah? Why would you make such an extrapolation? Our Mishnah is talking about a case where Kohen grants Truma in other cases, and over here, can't grant it because of the Aveira. So that's why he grants it even in the Aveira case. Psua Daka never grants Truma, and so therefore, why should he grant Truma in this case? Abai and Rabba say, no, you misunderstood. Even by a psula daka, he's similar to the kohen with the grusha and chalutz in the Mishnah because he grants truma in other places. Abai says, how is he granted? In a case where he became a psula daka in the middle of the marriage, and then he doesn't have bia with her. Or, Rabba says in a case where he still grants truma through other methods, which is kinyan kaspo, which is the way it works with his wife as well, kinyan kaspo, that's why she's eating. By avadim, kananim, and shivchot kananoyot. That's the case. Abaya lo amar k'Rava, why didn't Abaya like Rava's answer? Kinyan de'ishut, mikinyan de'ishut yofinan. We want to learn out a case of a woman who's a wife from a case of a woman who's a wife, not a case of a wife from avadim and shfachot. Velo yofinan, kinyan de'ishut, mikinyan avadim. For Rava lo amar k'Abaya, shiny hotam shgvar achla. It's different when she already ate truma. When she already ate truma, we're not going to take away that right until she's psula. But until that point in time, she ate truma, she continues to have that right until she is taken out of that right. According to Abaye, we don't say, just because she ate before, it doesn't grant her any more rights. Now, every day is a new day, and she has to be granted the right in a sense that she has to earn that right every day. And for something changed in their marriage, then she no longer has that right to eat the truma. Dilo taimei hachi, if you don't say that, bat Yisrael, she niseit the kohen. So in a case where a Bat Yisrael marries a Kohen, Bat Yisrael marries a Kohen, a normal marriage, Erusin, now Nisuin, she has the right to eat Truma as long as her husband's alive. They have no children. And then Umit, her husband passes away, she no longer has the right to eat in Truma, because the one who granted her the right was her husband, and he's gone. If they have children, then she gains or keeps that right because of her children that are Kohanim. But here she had no children. So as soon as her husband passes away, she no longer has the right to Truma. So Teichol, in this case, she should eat Truma, Shkvar Achla. Her status before her husband died was eating Truma. So if she's eating Truma, why can't she, if you say this concept of Kvar Achla applies here, let her continue eating Truma until something happens that is posel her, meet Truma. I mean, if she gets married someone else or she leaves the house of her husband, the estate of her husband. But until that point, she should be granted the right to Truma. Rava says, wait a minute. Hotam Paka Kinyone. Over there, the whole ability or her right to Truma comes through the kinyan of her husband. Her husband no longer exists. The kinyan now dissolved or dissipated. It's annulled. There is no kinyan anymore. That kinyan. She doesn't need a divorce to leave this husband. The husband's death releases her, and therefore there's no more kinyan. That's why she loses the right to Truma. It's nothing to do with the fact that she already ate. Yeah, she already ate. But in the case here, where he becomes a psua daka in the middle of the marriage, hakalo paka kinyane. She's not automatically divorced from this man. This kohen who's a psua daka now, she remains married to him unless she gets a divorce from him. So the kvar achla has impact. Rova is saying there's a difference between kvar achla in a situation in which the marriage will continue versus a case where you have kvar achla and now the marriage is terminated. Just like a grusha will not eat truma, so too a almana will not eat truma because she no longer has a binding to this husband because he doesn't exist anymore. He's out of the picture. In the case where he's still in the picture, there's still a kinyan, and that's what maintains her right to continue eat truma. That's not a similar case. Tosafot here discusses exactly why kvar achla helps and how Abaye's answer relates to the Mishnah over here. I'm not going to get into it because it'll complicate a lot of things, but you should just know that Tosfot takes time over here to explain how that fits into the Mishnah, to the positions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon. So now the Gemara continues and says, Gufa. So this is this question that we mentioned before. Baimene Rabbi Yochanan mi Rabbi Shaya. So Rabbi Yochanan queried of Rabbi Shaya, Tzua daka koin shenasa bat kerim mahu. This is that question that we talked about that Rabbi Yochanan asked the Rabbi Shaya. What happens in a case of a Tzua daka koin that marries a bat kerim? Again, totally muteret. She achilenu bitruma. Does she have a right to truma? Guess what he answered? Ishtik velo amar le velo mide. He didn't answer him at all. He was silent. So he didn't answer him. Then, the sof atagavra rava achrina. Then another big gun showed up. Rabbi Yochanan's a big gun. And he asked the question of Rabbi Shaya. Now you have another big gun show up and ask him, avoy mine, milta achrita. He asked him another question. Uposhadle. And he answered him. So here Rabbi Shaya answered the next person, but didn't answer Rabbi Yochanan. Umanu, who is that other person? Reish Lakish. So here you have Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Here Tosfot notes his shita of the Rabbeinu Tam and Boba Metzia. We know the story, the famous story about Reish Lakish, that Reish Lakish was Rosh Haganavim. And Rabbi Yochanan wants to convince him to bring his strength to Torah. And so Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, you're so beautiful, your beauty belongs to women. Rabbi Yochanan says, I have a sister who is more beautiful than I am, and I will give you my sister if you bring yourself to Torah. And then Reish Lakish agrees to join the ranks of Torah, and he becomes Rabbi Yochanan's chavruta, and he joins the ranks of Torah. Over there, there's some interesting stories. Rabbeinu Tam, based on the story over there, says that Reish Lakish actually was originally a Talmud Chacham. There's a Talmud Chacham who originally left being a Talmud Chacham, went to be a Rosh Ganavim, and then returns to the fold. This is one of his examples or proofs. Here, Reish Lakish is interacting with Rabbi Shaya, which seems to be early on in his lifetime, way before what it seems to be that Rabbi Yochanan convinced him to join the ranks of Torah. And so this Tosfot brings as one of his proofs to the fact that Rabbeinu Tam said Reish Lakish was a Talmud Chacham prior to going out and becoming a marauder or a thief. So here we have Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan approaching Rabbi Shaya to ask a question. He does not answer Rabbi Yochanan, but he does answer Reish Lakish. So Amalei Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah. So Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah says to Rabbi Shaya, Atu Rabbi Yochanan lav gaber rabuhu. Wait a minute, Rabbi Yochanan's not a big gun that you don't answer him? He says, wait a minute. He asked me a question I don't have an answer to. Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah's suspicion is Rabbi Shaya is not answering Rabbi Yochanan because he doesn't think he's on a high enough level. Or he thinks that I'm involved in one mesechta. You're not allowed to ask somebody about something from a different mesechta unless you think they're holding in that mesechta. So when Rabbi Yochanan first approached, he either assumed that Rabbi Yochanan wasn't of a stature where he felt compelled to answer him, or he was involved in one mesechta, and Rabbi Yochanan was asking him something from a different mesechta, so he didn't feel that he had to answer him because it was out of context, and he doesn't have to answer him. But then all of a sudden Reish Lakish shows up, and Reish Lakish, okay, he's a gavra rabba, but Rabbi Yochanan's at least a peer of Reish Lakish's, if not greater, and he answers him. So that takes away the reasoning of he's not a high enough stature to answer him. Number two is Reish Lakish asks him a question outside the Masechta, and he answers him. So Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah says, I don't understand. You're answering Rabbi Shlakish, you should be answering Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Shai says, no, you don't understand. The reason I didn't answer Rabbi Yochanan is not because I don't want to answer Rabbi Yochanan, it's because I don't know what to answer Rabbi Yochanan. I don't have an answer for Rabbi Yochanan. And that's what we said before. Rabbi Yochanan asked this question of Rabbi Shai, and he did not know what to answer. Probably not Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, it's probably Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah, who's a grandson of Rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah is the grandson of Rabbi. Usually refers to him, who's not a Tano, he's a Mamoru. So now the Gemara says, Leman. Tosafot before asked this question, because the Gemara is going to come to a conclusion over here and get an answer. Rashi says that even though the Gemara is going to come to an answer here, this is the Gemara doing this. This is not Rabbi Shaya doing this. This is the Gemara taking the query that was from Rabbi Yochanan to Rabbi Shaya and saying, let's play with this, let's understand this, see what we can come to. And the Gemara comes to a conclusion. So Rashi says it's the Gemara's conclusion, it's not Rabbi Shaya's conclusion. Tosfot brings the possibility that it is Rabbi Shaya's conclusion. And then for it complicates above, when we said that they did ask, Rabbi Yochanan asked this question of Rabbi Shaya, wait a minute, Rabbi Shaya didn't know the answer, but then he did know the answer. He comes to an answer in the end. So he tries to reconcile or deal with that. But the easier way to learn this is like Rashi, which is the Gemara now left behind the story and now on its own is trying to investigate what the situation is. Gemara says, Liman, according to whom are we asking this question? Ilu Rabbi Yehuda, if the question is posed according to Rabbi Yehuda, ben bikdushtei kai, ben la bikdushtei kai lo achla. Doesn't matter whether a Tzua Daka Kohen still is classified as a Kohen or not classified as a Kohen, he does not grant the right of Achila. If he's still, Tzua Daka is still considered to be a Kohen, lo Achla, he doesn't grant this woman the right to eat. Daha Amar Mar Bad Ger Zachar Kebat Halal Zachar. The daughter of a Ger Zachar is the equivalent of a Bat Halal Zachar, meaning that she is a Chlala. And if she is a Chlala, then if he is Kadosh, the Tzua Daka is still a Kohen Kadosh, and because this Bat Gerim is considered to be a Chlala. So if she's a Chlala, then there's no way that she's going to gain Truma here if he marries her, because it's a problematic marriage in terms of granting Truma. If he doesn't have his kedusha, I mean he's a Tzua Daka, he doesn't have that kedusha anymore, lo achla, damrinin kal gerim ikre kal. Because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the kal of gerim is considered to be a kal. So there are two things that are moving over here. Tosfos points out you need both of them actually to describe this. Number one is that a bat ger zachar, a daughter of a male ger, is problematic. She is a chlala. She is psula de kuna. You may not marry her because she's psula de kuna. That's number one. Number two is the kal gerim. A ger is considered to be a part of kal Hashem. So if you put those two things together, this psua daka cannot marry this woman mimonof shach. He can't marry her. He can't marry her because if you think that a psua daka is kedushat kohen, she's problematic because she's a chlala. If you think that a psua daka does not have kedushat kuna, so since he doesn't have kedushat kuna, there's no problem for him to marry a chlala. He still can't marry her because she is kal Hashem. V'lo yavo p'tzua daka b'kal Hashem. So therefore, it's an illegal marriage, and he won't grant her truma. So mimonav shach, this kohen has no ability to marry this woman. If he's kedushat kohen, she's problematic because she's a chlala. So that causes a problem for him. If he doesn't have kedushat kohen, she's problematic because lo yavo p'tzua daka b'kal Hashem. Either way, it's an illegal marriage, and he won't grant her truma. V'ila Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi ben Mikdusha Teikai ben La Mikdusha Teikai Achla. So according to Rabbi Yossi, she'll eat no matter what. Why? Bikdusha Teikai, if he's still considered to be a Kohen, a Kohen Kutsua Daka is considered to be a Kohen Achla, why? Da'amar af ger shenasa gioret bitok shira de kuna. Because Rabbi Yossi believes that even if they both parents are gerim, that the daughter born to them is totally kashira de kuna. So she's completely kashira de kuna. So if he's a Kutsua Daka, that is a Kohen and has Kedusha. As far as a Kohen is concerned, he can marry this woman. A regular Kohen can marry this woman. He can marry the Kohen as a Tzua Daka. Ila b'kedusha deikai. If he's not Kedush b'kuna, achala she gets good, b'kada amar, kal gerim lo yikre kal. Because he says that a kal gerim is not called a kahal, and therefore she's not in a legal relationship in terms of Tzua Daka. The truth is you need that for the first case as well. Even if he has Kedushat Kohen, and he can marry her because she's Kshira, you also have to imply here that the Kaal Gerim is not considered to be Kaal, because otherwise, as a Tzua Daka, he can't marry her, and it would be problematic from that side. So if he's Kadosh, and he remains like a full-fledged Kohen, and therefore he is restricted in marrying these women that are Asurim LeKohanim, then it would still be Mutar. Number one is because she is Kshira LeKuna, and number two is she's not considered to be Kaal Hashem. So he can marry her. It's a totally good marriage because she's Kshira Lekuna and she's Kshira Yisrael. So he marries her, he grants her Truma. In a case where he's not Kedushat Kohen, not Kedushat Kohen, that means that he doesn't have the restrictions of marrying these women. So, but she's still Kshira Lekuna, so he's permitted to marry her. Number two is a Ptua Daka. No problem. She can marry anybody, Yisrael Ptua Daka, because she's not considered to be Kal Hashem. So the restriction of Lo Yavo B'Kal Hashem doesn't apply to her. So the Gemara says here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, his two opinions, if you put his two opinions together, which is number one, by a ger, as long as the father is a ger, this girl is like a chlala. Number two is, kahal gerim is considered to be part of kal Hashem. In that case, this kohen, tzua daka, cannot marry her. No matter what you think about a kohen, tzua daka, he can't marry this woman, either snare, she will not get truma. According to Rabbi Yossi's two opinions, which is number one, that a woman that is born even to two parents who are gerim is kshira lekuna. And number two is, Kaal Gerim is not considered to be Kaal Hashem. Then in both instances, he's allowed. No matter what you think about this Kohen Ptua Daka, he's allowed to marry her, and she should get Truma. So when Rabbi Yochanan posed the question to Rabbi Hoshaya, the answer should have been obvious. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no. And according to Rabbi Yossi, yes. That should have been the answer. So what was the question? Why was Rabbi Hoshaya having so much trouble getting to an answer. So the Gemara says, Ella Alib the High Tana. The problem is according to this Tana. The Tanan, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov Omer, Isha Bat Gerim, Lo Tina Se de Kuna, Achitei Ima Misrael. A woman who is the daughter of Gerim doesn't have a right to Kuna, Achitei Ima Misrael. So her mother is a Israelite. If it's a Ger with a Israelite, then she is Kshira de Kuna. If it's a Gioret, even with the Yisrael, it sounds like she'll be Psula de Kuna. So here you have this in-between stage. He is like a halfway between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says, as long as there's a ger involved, it's problematic. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, even ger and gioret are not problematic. Here, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov's in the middle. He says, if it's a Jewish mother, then she's kshira de kuna. If it's a gioret who's the mother, then it's problematic. V'hochi kami bayile. And this is the question. Kashrut mitosaba v'achla. Odilma kidusha mitov saba velo achla. What is happening here in terms of Imam Yisrael? What does Imam Yisrael add to the picture? Again, if her mother was a Gioret, it was a Ger and a Gioret, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees that this woman is Psula de Kehuna. Now, if her mother is a Bat Yisrael, she's an Israelite, then it changes the dynamic. Why does it change the dynamic? What did the fact that this ger is married to Israeli do that makes the girl kshera? So the answer the Gemara says is, well, kashrut or kedusha? What happened here that was added to this woman? Now, this is, again, Rashi brings two lashonot about what it means. And he says, the first lashon he says is, kashrut itosala viru'uya likiuna. What does that mean? By having her mother be Israelite, she now is more kasher. What does it mean, more kasher? That she is now re'uya to marry into a kohen. V'lav kedusha likrui kal. It doesn't make her part of Kal Hashem. She doesn't gain kedusha to be Kal Hashem. All she gains is the right to marry into a kohen. So what we're saying is there are two factors that are involved with a gioret. One of the factors is being kshira l'kuna. The other factor is being part of Kal Hashem. So now when her imam Israel, she has a ger as a father, but a imam who's an Israelite. In that case, that daughter, now she's permitted to marry the Kohen. What happened here? Why is she now allowed to marry the Kohen? Is that simply because she became Shkera the Kuna, but remains not part of Kal Hashem? Or maybe she became part of Kal Hashem because her mother's an Israelite. So that's what the question of the Gemara is. Kashruti tosaba. Is she more kasher now, meaning that she's Muter the Kuna, but not Kiddusha to be part of her Kal Hashem, and therefore she would be Muteret to a Ptua Daka? Because the Psuat Dakah is only restricted in Kal Hashem, but is permitted in terms of a Kohen. That's one possibility. Because Mimonov Shach, if he's a Kohen Kadosh, he can marry her because she's Kshira de Kuna. If he's a Kohen that's not Kadosh, then he can marry her anyway because the Psuat Dakah is not restricted in this woman because she's not part of Kahal Hashem. Oh, Dilma Kidusha Itov Sabah. Or maybe Kidusha was out of here. V'Kahal Ikri. And now she is part of the Kal Hashem. And therefore, she's a surah de ptuadaka v'lo achala. The way Rashi reads the question is, making her mother Israelite, what does this do for this daughter? Does it make her just kshira de kuna, but not add her to Kal Hashem? Or does it also add her to Kal Hashem? The nafkamina will be if she can marry a kohen ptuadaka. Because whether she's part of Kal Hashem or not matters in terms of a kohen ptuadaka. In the case where she is part of Kal Hashem, she will not be able to marry him, and she'll lose out on Truma. She won't be able to eat Truma. And then if she's not part of Kal Hashem, she will be able to marry him, and therefore she will gain Truma. That'll be the nafkamina. That's the question according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. When he says when her mother is Israelite, she's kshira de kuna, what does that mean? Does that mean she's now kshira de kuna, but not part of Kal Hashem? Or does it mean that even jumped up, she's part of Kal Hashem? That's the way Rashi reads kashrut and kedusha. Kashrut means kasher de kuna, and kedusha means part of Kal Hashem. He brings an alternative Lishna Achrina Mipia Moreh, and this is the one that Tosafot favors. Kasher means that she's part of Kal Hashem, but a Bat Gior Gioret is not part of Kal Hashem. Or is it that Kedusha Itov Sabah? So everybody agrees, according to the second Lashon, that she is Kshira. Kshira means that she's part of Kal Hashem. That where Imam Yisrael, now she's part of Kal Hashem. But a Bat Gior Vigioret, a Bat Gior Vigioret is not part of Kal Hashem. And therefore she should be able to eat with a Ptua Daka. In a case where he's not Kadosh. Kohen Ptua Daka is not Kadosh, he'll be able to marry her because he doesn't have a restriction against marrying this woman who is a Bat Ger Gioret. So she's not part of Kalav Hashem, but he's also not Kadosh with Dushat Kohen, and therefore you can marry her. So then she'll get Truma. Or do we say Dilma Kedusha Yitov Sabah? When Imam Yisrael, that means she's not only as part of Kalav Hashem, she's also Ksheira Lekehuna, which means what did the mother add on? Ksheira Lekehuna. That means if her mother wasn't the Israelite and was a regular Gioret, she wouldn't have Kedusha Lekehuna, but she would be part of Kalav Hashem. And even the daughter of a Ger and a Gioret would be part of Kalav Hashem. And if they're part of Kalav Hashem, then she's restricted with this Kohen because he's a Ptuat Daka. So that's the two ways that Rashi reads it. Again, Tosafot favors the second Lashon because of reasons that he explains here, that the word Kedusha and Kashrut, the way that Rashi uses them in the first case, are not the standard ways they're used. They're much more likely to be used in the way that we're talking about here. Kshera usually means Kshera the Kahal, and Kedusha is something that we apply to Kohanim. In the second Lashon, that's exactly how we're using them. In the first Lashon, you're using Kashrut to mean Kasher the Kuna, and Kedusha to mean part of Kal Hashem. And he says that's not the standard usage of those words, and that's why he favors the second Lashon of Rashi. But either way, Vachi Gami Baile, because that's the question, which one is it? Is it Kashrut Yitov Sabah or Kedusha Yitov Sabah? Tashma, Ki Ata Rav Acha Bar Chinina Mi Daroma, Ata V'Aiti Matnita B'Yadei. When he came up from the south, he brought a bright with him. Minayin Lib Tzua Daka Kohen, Shinasa Bat Gerim, Tzua Daka Kohen, that marries the daughter of Gerim, Shemachila B'Truma, that she gets Truma, Shinemar, Kohen Ki Ikne Nefesh Kinyan Kaspo, Hu Yochal Bo, they will eat. Laman. Who is this according to? Ilei Mala Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Ben Bikdushei Kai, Ben Malav Kedushei Kai Lo Achla. He already said that doesn't matter if he still has Kedusha, doesn't have Kedusha, he can't give this woman Truma. This bright is certainly not according to Rabbi Yehuda. Either Rabbi Yossi, Lomali Kra. According to Rabbi Yossi, you don't need a Pasuk. She gets Truma Mimanav Shach, according to Rabbi Yossi's opinion, as we saw before, because Rabbi Yossi believes that Kal Gerim is not called a Kal, and a bat gerim is ksheira the kuna. So mimanav shach she gets truma. So what do you need a pasuk to teach me that? Va'amar ben kedushei kai ben lavshei kai achla. Whether he's kadosh or not, she gets to eat. Elalav. Or Rebbelezer ben Yaakov. This bright is according to Rabbi Elazar Yaakov. Shmamina kashrut itov sabah ve'achla shmamina. So what do you see? The pasuk shows you that what does Imam Yisrael do? Imam Yisrael makes her ksheira. That's what's editor, and therefore she's granted the right to eat truma because of that. So what you see from this is that kashrut itov sabah. So according to the second lashon of Rashi, that means that Imam Yisrael makes her into kahal, but a bat ger b'gioret would not be part of kal Hashem. And since they're not part of kal Hashem, the ptua da kohen can marry her if he's loved b'kedushtei kai, and therefore he would grant her the right to eat truma. According to Rashi's first lashon, kshira means kshira the kuna, and therefore she can eat Mimanav Shach, because she's not part of Kal Hashem, but she is Kshira Lekehuna, and therefore she has the right to eat Truma and Mimanav Shach. So according to the first Lashon and Rashi, we conclude that no matter what his status is, she is permitted to eat Truma, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. According to the second Lashon, if he is loved b'kedushtei kai, if a Kohen Ptua Daka does not have the necessity to marry women that are Ksheirim Lekehuna, then he would grant her Truma because Kashrut Yitov Sabah, which according to that Lashon means simply that she is not part of Kal Hashem when she's a Ger and a Gioret, but she still remains problematic in terms of her married to a Kohen. But since he doesn't have that necessity, he can feed her Truma in that case where he's Lav Kedusha Tekai, and she's a daughter of a Ger and a Gioret. She won't be part of Kal Hashem, and she is Psula the Kuna, but he doesn't require someone that is Ksheira the Kuna. In that case, he'll feed her Truma according to that Lashon. So here you have a conclusion about the question that Rabbi Yochanan posed to Rabbi Hoshaya. And that was Tosafot's question. Well, now you have a conclusion. Why did the Gemara say before it was a question? Rashi's answer is this whole section of the Gemara is not Rabbi Hoshaya speaking. This is the Gemara after the fact trying to figure out what was the question that was bothering Rabbi Hoshaya. But Rabbi Hoshaya had, they had the question. He didn't have this brighta to solve the problem. And so therefore he was left with safek about Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's position. Now that we have a brighta, we're able to figure out what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's position was, that kashrut itov sabah, and because of that, she would eat truma, again, in each lashon, according to the way, according to the first lashon, no matter what his status is. According to the second lashon, if he is labi kedushtei kai, he will eat truma. Okay, now, the Gemara moves on to something else. Itmar, and again here, big problem in lashonot. Itmar, Rav Amar, yesh chupa lepsulot. There is chupa for someone who is a psula lekeuna. Shmuel Amar, Ein Chupa L'Psulot. There is no Chupa for those that are Psula de Kehuna. Let's work with Rashi's interpretation first. Rashi says, Kohen Gadol, Shechnis Amanab, Bat Kohen L'Chupa. So Kohen Gadol is marrying a Bat Kohen into the Chupa, V'lo Baleha. He does not have Bia with her. What is the status of this woman now? If he, for whatever reasons, now their marriage terminates, is she allowed to return to her father's house? If this case was the standard case where he had kiddushin with her, and now he has nisuin with her, seemingly that would be the machloka we had in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah discussed about the case of erusin and nisuin in our Mishnah. Everybody agreed that once you had kiddushin and nisuin, she's psula to go back to her father's house. There's no question. So why are Rav and Shmuel arguing about that? So it must be that this is different than the case in our Mishnah. That's the bottom line here about what we're trying to figure out. How is this different than the case in our Mishnah? So Rashi tells you, you know how it's different? Umikara lo kidsha. He didn't have kiddushin with her. He skipped kiddushin. Instead of doing kiddushin, he skipped kiddushin and went directly to chuppah. So there is a machloket about what exactly nisuin is. Some believe that nisuin is when you just put the clothing or a cloth above the chatan and kala. I mean that they are joined together in that way. That's chuppah. Some say that chuppah is that they have to be mityachet. They have to be a biyichud. They have to be alone together to be chuppah. And there's a third daya that chuppah is when he brings her into her house. So now he performs chuppah without any kiddushin. Chuppah without kiddushin. And he doesn't have biyah with her. That's the question that Rashi says is being dealt with over here. Now, based on that, Rashi doesn't explain much more than that. But that's what he says the problem is. Tosafot takes up Rashi's position and says, I'll explain to you Rashi's position. It's a machloket in the Gemara and Kiddushin. The Gemara and Kiddushin says if you skip Kiddushin and do Nisuin, can Nisuin fill in for Kiddushin? Can Nisuin functionally create Kiddushin even though there is no Kiddushin? Does it work like Kesef, Shtar, and Bia? And that you can generate Kiddushin through Nisuin. So it's a machloket over there. Rav Huna says that you can. Rav Huna says that Nisuin can fill in. So Tosfot claims that Rashi's whole shita here is based on Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that Kiddushin can be replaced by Nisuin. And that's our question over here. Yesh chupa lipsulot or ain't chupa lipsulot, which is no Kiddushin. We go into now with a chupa, but the chupa is a chupa with a woman that he's not supposed to marry. So since it's a chupa with a woman he's not supposed to marry, can it accomplish what it's supposed to do? I mean, it can't accomplish Kiddushin or can it not accomplish Kiddushin? Once you've established that, then you can determine what the story is over here, whether it establishes Kiddushin or not. Then you can determine what the status of this woman is. If it accomplishes Kiddushin, then we have a machloket in our Mishnah once you've established Kiddushin. If it doesn't establish Kiddushin, then there's no machloket. She's clearly not married to this man. She didn't have bi'ah. She should be able to go back to her father's house according to everyone. That's the question according to Tosafot here that Rashi is suggesting, which is, Rav says, Yesh chupa l'psulot. The chupa accomplishes Kiddushin. Well, if it accomplished Kiddushim, now you're dealing with the Machloket, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah. What happens to an Arusa? Shmuel Amar in Chupa L'Psulot. There's no Chupa. Chupa doesn't function like Kiddushin here because it's with a Psula. Therefore, she doesn't have Kiddushin. She doesn't have Chupa. She doesn't have Bia. She's Ksheira to return to her father's house. It's fine. That's the way Tosafot learns Rashi. There are a number of problems with that. One of the most major ones is that Rav Huna is not the Halacha. We don't pass in like Rav Huna that Chupa can replace Kiddushin. So many explain Rashi as not saying what Tosfot says, but rather Rashi is saying exactly what he meant. He says, there was no Kiddushin, and now he has Chupa. And everybody agrees that Chupa does not accomplish Kiddushin, but does Chupa accomplish at least something that's going to ruin this woman? Is there enough power in Nisuin without Kiddushin to put this woman into a status where it's problematic? Rav says yes, yesh Chupa l'psulot. That means that the Chupa is strong enough to ruin the chances for this woman to return to her father's house in order to get truma, even though there was a lack of kiddushin, the nisuin still has some tokif to it. Whereas Shmuel says this nisuin is completely meaningless, and since you have nothing here, you don't have kiddushin, you don't have nisuin, you have nothing, she can return to her father's house and eat truma. So that's the way Rashi learns it. By the way, that way that we just explained in Rashi is also the way the Rambam seems to explain it to many of the other Rishonim, explain that not the way Tosfot explains Rashi, but the Pashup Shad in Rashi. There is a third daya here, which is the Rabbeinu Tam. Penira Lari, Kaperish Rabbeinu Tam, the Bechupa Achar Kiddushin Ayri. It's a case where there is Kiddushin, and now they have Chupa. Ah, what about the problem, the question we asked originally? If you have Chupa and Kiddushin, that's our Mishnah. So what are they arguing about? They're going on the latter half of our Mishnah in a case where she's widowed or divorced. Rav amar yesh chupa lepsulot, vim nit almu nit garshu achar chupa psulot, lukuli ama, kevin de yesh chupa, v'chupa shiva kebiya lifsol leolam. That's what Rav says. That's what it's meant in our Mishnah. When it says in our Mishnah, nit almu nit garshu min a nisuin, that means that everybody agrees that this woman is psula, despite the fact that he never had biya with her, but she had kiddushin and a chupa, she's out forever. She's now a psula forever and may not return to her father's house because it was a chupa that was chashuv enough to make her as if she had biya. Because chupa leads to biya. And since she had chupa, even though she didn't have biya, it's as if she had biya. Shmuel amar in chupa lepsulot. V'ha'avi nitamu nitgashu min erusin dekashrut afilo l'rabi meir. And therefore, when we say over here that nitama nitgasham and erusim, that's kasher, that's even according to Rabbi Meir. Because even Rabbi Meir is going to agree over here that if nitama nitgasham and erusim, that she's not psula the kuna, because that's all that happened here. All you had was kiddushin. You never had nisuin. So now, the way that the Rabbeinu Tam is explaining it is that the statements in our Mishnah, at the end of our Mishnah, that say nitamu nitgasham and nisuin psulot, Minayrusim ksheirot, according to Rav, everybody agrees to that. Everybody agrees to that because chupa is strong enough to ruin it, even though there's no bia. And kiddushin is not strong enough to ruin it, according to everyone. According to Shmuel, you never had nisuin. All you had was kiddushin. Erusin, where even Rabbi Meir will agree that that is considered to be okay. So those are three different ways to learn this machloket over here. Then Amar Shmuel, moduli abba, Abba agrees to me. Now, it's clear that Abba refers to Rav. The question is why? Rashi says that it refers to Rav because it's a term of both endearment and respect. Rav is older than Shmuel, so Shmuel calls Rav Abba out of, like, you call someone Rabbi, that you call him your Rebbe. I mean, that's a term of respect and endearment. And that's what it says, moduli Abba. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosfot disagrees and says Abba is Rav's real name. His name is Abba. He's called Rav. That's his term of respect. That's why he's called Rav. It's like the Rav. Abba is his real name. And Shmuel calls him Abba because he's a peer with Rav. And that's why he calls him Abba. So here you have a machloket. There's some that say that both are true. That his name is Abba, but Abba is also a term of respect. And that's why you're allowed to call him by his name Abba, because Abba has both meanings to it. But Rashi and Tosfot disagree about what the Abba is. But he says, Moduli Abba, betinoket pchuta mibat shalosh shanim v'yom echad. If you have a young girl who's under the age of 3 years in one day, hol v'ein la biya in la chupa. Rav's got to agree with me, since bia does not have any impact on a girl under the age of 3, therefore there's no chupa. Rav believes that chupa psua has tokef here, because the point of chupa is to lead to bia. So even though he didn't have bia, the chupa is a chupa that's going to lead to a bia psula, and therefore it has chashivut. And since it has chashivut, it ruins it for her, she can't go back to her father's house. In a case with a girl who's less than 3 years old, she cannot have biya. Since she can't have biya, you can't say the chupa is going to lead to a biya psula. It won't lead to a biya psula. It won't lead to any biya. There's no biya of such a chupa. He will agree with me that chupa is meaningless, and therefore she'll be able to return to her father's house.
He's trying to associate the chupa to the biya by using this.
Everybody agrees that biya is the real problem. The question is, does chupa tie you to the biya psula, even though you've yet to have the biya? It also has impact in terms of, I'll just note this as a side, about when a woman has to start covering her hair. The din usually about a woman covering hair is a bi'ula, has to cover her hair. Whereas here, if you say that a chupa leads to bi'a, then maybe chupa already should mean that the woman is a bi'ula and she'd have to cover her hair. That's the way Rabbi Yosef paskins for the Sfardim, that after the yichud room, the girl has to cover her hair at the wedding because she's already classified as chupa mevilidei bi'a. The Ashkenazim paskin that she has to actually be a bi'ula and chupa is not enough. But that's the same concept there, where we're talking about how closely related are chupa to bia. So Rav says, listen, if you have a chupa already, even if it's a chupa psula, it's going to lead to a bia psula. It's the equivalent of having a bia psula, even though you never had it. Then Shmuel says a chupa psula is not meant to be sustained, because it is by definition a chupa psula. So until she has the bia, the chupa is meaningless. If she has bia, then she'll become psula because of the bia. But the chupa doesn't have any strength to it, doesn't have any tokif to it, because it's a chupa psula. So now, Amarava afanani dam itanina. We have a Mishnah that supports this. Bashlo shanim yom echad. A girl is 3 years in one day. Mitkadesha bibiya. She's already reached the age where biya makes a difference. So Rashi learns from this, the way Rashi learns this. Okay, you see from this that 3 years and one day, bia makes a difference. That means under that, bia is not meaningful. If bia is not meaningful, then the chuppah is not meaningful. Vim ba'alea yavam kana. If a yavam then has yibum with her, he's koneh her. V'chayavin alea mishum esherish. And now she's considered to be a full-fledged wife. Full-fledged wife that esherish. Umetamad bo'ala letamei mishkav takton kelyom. She has the status of a full-fledged nida, if she is a nida. She'll have the status of tumata nida. By tumata nida, not only does she convey tumah by contact, she also conveys tumah when someone is bo'ela nida. When you're bo'ela nida, you have tumah like tumata nida. It's different. When you have nida, contact that conveys tumah from a nida, it drops down a level. But a bo'el nida takes on the same tumah as a nida. He has the same level as a nida. So since she is already ruya lebia, if she becomes a nida after that age of 3 years and one day, if someone is boel her as a nida, they will take on the tumah ta nida, boel nida. That has particular things like the tamei mishkab takton kelyom, which is a chumrah in tumah ta nida, midoraita, which is that when she lays on a bed, she affects not only the top bed, but the bottom bed as well, even though she's not in direct contact with it. You say the kohen, ochalet bitrumah. She has nisuin the kohen, that's good enough bia to be nisuin. She eats the trumah. Ba'ala echad mikol psulim. Anybody who is pasul that has bia with her, pasla. That ruins her either from marrying a kohen in the future, or if she is a bat kohen, that will ruin her from continuing to eat truma. Bat shloshanim v'yom echad hu de mipasla b'biya. But so then mipasla b'chupa. That means that when she has a psula biya, which is 3 years in one day, so too the chupa is a psula. Ha pchuta mibat shloshanim v'yom echad. To lo mipasla b'biya. Biya doesn't have any impact on her. Lo mipasla nami b'chupa. Therefore, it doesn't affect Bua, Shmamina, that what Shmuel says about Rav's opinion is true. Because here we have an explicit Mishnah that says, below 3 years and one day is not Bia. And the whole reasoning behind Rav's position of Chupa is that a Chupa Psula leads to a Bia Psula. If it doesn't lead to a Bia Psula, then you're not going to have a Chupa Psula that has any impact. And that's how we prove it. Now, this Mishnah has some difficulty in it because of a number of things. First of all, we know that over Bat Shlosh Shanim B'Yom Echad is a problem for Arayot. Any of the Arayot. So why over here does it mention Eshet Ish in particular? Why is Eshet Ish different than any of the other Arayot? So Tosfot over here tries to deal with these issues, and he gives two possibilities of what it means that she's married. How does she have Kiddushin Deoraita? So there's one possibility is Peirushim Kibaba Vaya Kiddushin. Eshet Ish is created when her father accepts Kiddushin on her behalf, which he's allowed to do. He's allowed to marry off his daughter as a minor, and therefore she is married Midoraita. Since she's married Deoraita, there is Eshet Ish. And then he says, Venir Lari, the kaiyim baila yavam kana. That if yavam marries her, then kanava kamashvlan the kana kinyan gumur midoraita. For love, he can be at bentesha. We have a case by a male. A bia of a male only is considered to be a bia over the age of 9 years and one day. Now, over the age of 9 years and one day, with all the other arayot, that will be mechayev. If there's a woman who's of age and a child who is over the age of 9 years and one day, and she has bia and they have arayot, she will be chayevet for that bia, even though he will not be culpable because he's only 9 years and one day. Yet, if he's a yavam who, oh, shomeret yavam, a woman falls to him and he's 9 years and one day. If he has bia with her, his bia is a good bia. It's only me, the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan made it, we saw this just a couple of daf ago, that a bia ben teish v'yom echad k'mamar. That's only a din Rabbanan. But, midoraita doesn't work. So you would think that the same thing applies to a girl. When we say that the girl's bia over 3 years and one day is a bia, that's only midorabanan. Along comes the mission to tell you that's not the case. By a boy, teishim v'yom echad, that bia by yavam is not koneh until he's of age. It won't be koneh, it only makes it rabanan. By yavam, his bia is not successful at creating a kinyan. So maybe we'll say the same thing over here by this 3-year-old and one day. If a yavam, after being married to his brother, she's now a yavama and he marries her, that kinyan bia doesn't really work. It's only working Rabbanan, it works Doraita. That's what the Reis says. The Mishnah is telling you it works Doraita, and she's considered to be an Eshet Ish. And that's the Chiddush of Eshet Ish here. It's not that her father had Kiddushin and she's Eshet Ish. Okay. That's like any of the Arayot. Of course she should be. So what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that when the Yavam marries her and has a Kinyan Bia with her, the Kinyan Bia works Midoraita, and she's considered to be fully married to him at that point. 3 years and one day old, she'll be fully married to him and she'll be an Eshet Ish. Not like a 9-year-old in one day where it'll only be Rabbanan. And that's the chiddush that is brought by this Eshet Ish, because here the bia has impact deoraita in order to bring this woman together for him to marry him. And that was the chiddush. Don't think it's like bia's penteish v'yom echad. The Riva suggests the itzrich v'chayv alev mishum Eshet Ish. Do you love tanila? Habik minim in bale achad mikol arayot Dafka b'ayriyot v'lo be'amah. It's a gemara later on. So the Rivaz says, Eishanish teaches us that it has all impact, not just by arayot. It impacts any type of bia. Any problematic bia will be affected by this type of girl who's over the age of 3 years and 1 day. And by saying Eishanish, it tells you it's not limited to arayot. It includes any type of relationship. Okay, we're going to stop over here, and we'll continue with Rami Bar Chama's statement tomorrow, because Rami Bar Chama is part of the problem why the others were explaining Rav and Shmuel in different ways, is because Rami Bar Chama makes a statement that the din of chupa psula is the machloket in our Mishnah. If that's the case, then why are Rav and Shmuel distinct or different from our Mishnah? And that's what led to all these different interpretations about chupa. So we're going to stop here on the last line on Nun Zayin Amud Bet.